Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you all to the telephone conference of BMW AG on the second quarter 2012. With me today are Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, our CFO. First, Mr. Reithofer will give you all an update on the business performance during the first six months of the year. Mr. Eichiner will then take you through our financial results for the second quarter and half year. Afterwards, we will have time for a Q&A session. Mr. Reithofer, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The BMW Group continues its success story. We continue to achieve profitable growth. We are working hard to meet the challenges of our industry. We are making great progress in developing the mobility of the future. We had a strong second quarter with a new record performance. In terms of sales, it was the strongest quarter in the history of the BMW Group, over 475,000 units sold. In terms of revenues, it was the strongest quarter in the history of the BMW Group, 19.2 billion euros. Group EBIT was again more than 2 billion euros. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment was 11.6%. We deliver on our promises. That's what our customers expect, and that's what BMW Group stakeholders expect as well. We continue to benefit from our strategy number one, our strong brands, and our attractive products and services. According to a study carried out by the Reputation Institute, the BMW Group is the world's most reputable company ahead of Google and Apple. The annual survey carried out by Millward Brown Consultants confirms that BMW is the most valuable automotive brand in the world. At the Automobile Forum in Stuttgart, we received the OEM of the Future Award as the most future-oriented automobile company in the world. There continues to be strong demand for our vehicles. For example, the BMW 1 Series and the X1, the new BMW 3 Series sedan and the 3 Series convertible, the BMW 5 Series and the X5, the BMW 6 Series with the recently launched 6 Series Grand Coupé. All are leaders in their market segments. This is proof of the design, efficiency, and substance of our vehicles. In the first half of the year, we sold over 900,000 BMW MINI and Rolls-Royce cars. This too is a new record in the history of the company. More than anything else, all these achievements are built on a strong financial foundation. This gives us the confidence and leeway to make the necessary investments for further growth and profitability in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, automotive markets worldwide are becoming ever more heterogeneous. We had double-digit growth in the first half of the year in many growth markets, as well as in the large Asian regions and North and Central America. However, in Europe, consumers are growing more hesitant. The automotive market is also experiencing the impact of the sovereign debt crisis and the euro crisis. In spite of difficult prevailing conditions, our sales in Europe remain on the same level as last year. However, in some European countries, we too have sold considerably fewer vehicles in 2012 than last year. Here we have been affected by the tough market conditions. In spite of these challenges, we stand behind Europe. Europe is the largest sales market for our company. We sell almost half of our vehicles here. It is home to all our brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce, as well as Husqvarna. We see no alternative to a common Europe with a single currency area. The euro has generated growth, employment, and prosperity in this country. It has considerably strengthened the role of Europe as an economic power. For this reason, we continue to call for decisive action on the part of the member states, as well as long-term policies that strike a sensible balance between austerity and growth. We also expect some markets to remain volatile, because in other regions of the world too, there is a significant dampening of growth. Competition is becoming tougher. Risks are increasing rather than decreasing. How are we reacting to these challenges? With flexibility and foresight in all our actions. We monitor developments on the markets very closely and adapt our production volume as needed. This supports our competitiveness and increases the attractiveness of our brands. For us, profitable growth takes priority. Our lean structures and flexible processes equip us well for future fluctuations. In addition, we continue to strive for a balanced distribution in global sales. In the first half of 2012, the shares of sales in our largest individual markets, Germany, the US, and China, was about equal. In absolute terms, China and the US were our strongest markets. The premium segment in China should continue to offer good growth opportunities in the future. This is why we are expanding our activities there. At the end of May, we opened a second plant in Tixi together with our partner Brilliance China Automotive. Depending on demand, we can produce up to 400,000 units at the Shenyang site in the medium term. With the new BMW X1 and the long wheelbase version of the new BMW 3 Series sedan, two real firsts for China are rolling off the production line in Tixi. Together with Brilliance, we will also be upgrading our engine production in China. The current engine production facility will be relocated to a new site next to our Tixi vehicle plant and developed to achieve a capacity of 400,000 units a year in the midterm. But North America also remains a high potential market thanks to its positive demographics. For this reason, we are expanding our capacity at Spartanburg. Furthermore, this autumn, we are launching the new BMW 3 Series with xDrive as well as the BMW X1. Both vehicles will bring additional momentum. And this is what our customers worldwide can expect for the rest of 2012. The new BMW 1 Series 3-door, for the first time with xDrive, the new BMW 3 Series Touring and the Active Hybrid 3, the revised BMW X1, our flagship, the new BMW 7 Series, the new BMW M6 Coupe, for the Mini brand, the special edition Mini Clubman, for Rolls-Royce, the Phantom Series 2. Backed by all these initiatives, we remain confident that we will achieve our targets for the 2012 financial year. At the same time, we are already looking far into the future. In 2016, we aim to sell over 2 million vehicles. To achieve this, we are creating the preconditions today. To grow the Mini brand, we are further expanding our UK locations in Oxford, Swindon, and Hemsall. The planned investment through to 2015 has increased to a total of £750 million. This makes it very clear that the UK will remain the heart of the Mini brand in the long term. In addition, we are in negotiations with Dutch automotive manufacturer Netcar regarding future contract production. Our aim is to create more capacity while retaining high levels of flexibility and attractive production costs. Ladies and gentlemen, politics currently influence the automotive industry more than almost any other industrial sector. The current EU Commission proposal envisages a reduction in average CO2 emissions from new vehicles to 95 grams per kilometer by 2020. This is a huge challenge. Similar stipulations have been made for China and the US. BMW Group vehicles in Europe today emit an average of 145 grams of CO2 per kilometer, That's 30% less than in 1995. That means we have done more than most other manufacturers. In spite of this, the reduction we and the entire industry now face are formidable. They require massive investment in new technologies. It is the greatest challenge the automotive industry has ever faced. We accept the challenge and continue to set ourselves high targets. By 2020, we plan to halve the CO2 emissions of our worldwide vehicle fleet compared to the mid-1990s. To do this, we are talking two parallel approaches: evolution and revolution. The combustion engine will remain the domination drive type for the foreseeable future. Therefore, we will continue to develop them even further. With efficient dynamics, we are making our engines even more fuel efficient while also lowering emission. This is evolution, but there is also another certainty. We need future technologies for the targets set, both by ourselves and by environmental policies. Technologies such as plug-in hybrids and e-cars. For us, these efforts also include sustainable production, the use of new materials, and innovative mobility services. This is revolution. At the end of 2013, our BMW i models will go into series production. Both vehicles, the i3 and the i8, give an innovative face to the vehicle of the future. They are tailor-made electric drive vehicles. We manufacture both models here in Germany. The main production of these vehicles will occur at our Leipzig plant. Carbon parts for the body and important components for the electric drive will be produced at the Dingolfing and Landshut plants. Two reasons drove us to make this decision. First, we can leverage and continue to develop our employees' many years of expertise. Second, we are making our contribution as a car maker towards Germany becoming the global leader and worldwide driver of electric mobility. The automobile was invented in Germany. Many innovations led to its further development in Germany as well. It was the German premium car companies, more than anyone else, that made driving more modern, efficient, and safe. Today, Made in Germany is a seal of quality all over the world. It stands for engineering craftsmanship, reliability, and innovation. And customers are willing to pay a higher price for this. We need to defend this leading position because Germany's advancement as a location for technology and innovation is mainly driven by those that create and produce four wheels. To do this, we need the right prevailing conditions, incentives, and stimulus, especially in the initial phase. Helping electric mobility to make its breakthrough, this is and remains a joint effort. If we manage to make Germany a pioneer in electric mobility, everyone will benefit. The companies involved, Germany as a business location, and the people who live and work in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the challenges our sector faces are truly complex. It would not make sense to try to go it alone. This is why we cooperate with strong partners. Since March, we have been collaborating with the Toyota Motor Corporation to carry out fundamental research into lithium-ion battery technology. Both companies are innovation leaders. Both companies set standards in terms of sustainable mobility. In the future, we intend to collaborate even more closely. A memorandum of understanding has laid out the areas of interest: to develop powertrain electrification, to develop fuel cells, to carry out research in lightweight technology, and for future vehicle architectures. Leading individual mobilities into a new age is a task both exciting and challenging. We strive to fulfill this task in a highly volatile environment. This requires all of our innovative energy. It requires initiative, stamina, and discipline. It is a challenge similar to running a marathon, and you can't win a marathon simply by sprinting the last few meters. This is why we continue to work for profitable growth. This is why we are setting the course today for the mobility of tomorrow. This is why we are responsible and sustainable in our actions. This is our way. This is the BMW way. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Norbert Reithofer. And now, Friedrich Eichinger, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side as well. The BMW Group had a successful second quarter as we continued to prepare for the future. Our profitability remains high. For the first time, we generated revenues of more than 19.2 billion euros at group level in the quarter. Our quarterly earnings before taxes totaled 1.98 billion and were therefore lower than the same quarter last year, which also included one-off effects in the amount of 464 million. The first half year of 2012 has been our best ever so far with respect to sales, revenues, and adjusted for one-off effects with respect to earnings. The BMW Group continues on its growth track. In the first half of 2012, we hired new staff. We are building up core expertise in our automotive segment and the key future areas of lightweight construction and alternative drivetrains. Now let's turn to the automotive segment. We reported record deliveries of 475,000 vehicles in the second quarter. That growth was driven mainly by the new BMW 1 Series and the new C Series sedan, but also our X3 and X5, the 5 Series, and the new 6 Series models were very, very well received by our customers. Our sales continued to develop positively worldwide. The growth came mainly from our two largest single markets, China and the United States, but also from many emerging markets in Asia, Central and South America. On the other hand, the economic situation in Europe has further worsened. Our year-on-year sales are lower in a number of European markets. Like our peers, we are facing more competition in those countries as well. Our sales rose by 5.4% globally. Thanks to higher unit sales, our segment revenues exceeded 17 billion euros for the first time. Volume growth and currency effects also had a positive impact on segment earnings. We achieved an EBIT in the automotive segment of 2.02 billion euro in the second quarter. Our profitability remains high, 11.6% for both the quarter and the half year. As previously announced, we also made upfront investments in future projects, in new technologies, and the development of new business fields that will contribute to value creation over the long term. We need these investments in lightweight construction, alternative drivetrains, and mobility services to maintain our leading position going forward. We are also systematically preparing the BMW Group to face changing mobility requirements and stricter CO2 regulations. Over the full year, we will invest around 1 billion euro of additional future investments into these areas. The automotive segment generated a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of 2.5 billion euros in the first 6 months. We expect this positive trend to continue throughout the rest of the year. We are still aiming for a free cash flow of more than 3 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, our financial services segment continues on its growth track. Financial services profited from a sales growth in the second quarter. The segment is still reaping the benefits of the more defensive residual values we set in previous years and the low volume of off-lease vehicles. Financial services concluded more than 346,000 leasing and financing contracts with retail customers in the second quarter. This represents a year-on-year increase of 10%. The main gains were in Europe, Middle East, and Asia-Pacific regions. The growth in Europe is mainly due to the acquisition of ING Collis. At the end of the second quarter, the total number of contracts in place had reached 3.69 million. This also includes ING Collis contracts. Our fleet management company, Alphabet, has pushed ahead with the integration of ING Collis. The process has now been completed in a number of European markets, such as the Netherlands, Spain, and Belgium. Alphabet continues to expand its market position. This subsidiary is now the fourth largest European fleet management company. BMW Group once again had access to attractive financing conditions on the international financial markets. This also benefited our financial services business. Financial services generated a pre-tax profit of 431 million euros in the second quarter. This includes a positive one-off effect of 35 million euros from end of lease business. Year-on-year earnings were lower overall because of the one-off effect of 379 million we reported last year. However, adjusted for this one-off effect, segment earnings were around 10% higher than last year. The financial services segment provided leasing or financing for 38.7% of new BMW Group vehicles in the second quarter. This rate is slightly lower than last year. This is due to China's rapidly growing market and the fact that the penetration rate is still relatively low in China. The risk situation remained largely unchanged in the second quarter. As expected, credit risks were stable, although the situation in Southern Europe is still difficult. We do not expect to see any improvement in this area in the short term. In addition, the residual values of our off-lease vehicles remain stable in the second quarter. Used car prices have weakened somewhat in a number of European markets, especially in Southern Europe. We also expect to see a more volatile and more uneven market performance in the second half of the year, and we have accrued adequate risk provisions to cover potentially higher residual value losses. Now let's move on to our motorcycle segment. We delivered more than 37,000 BMW and Husqvarna motorcycles to customers in the second quarter. Sales volumes were lower than last year, owing to market developments in Southern Europe. We did, however, report growth in Brazil and the US, as well as Japan, France, and Germany. Due to the lower volumes, revenues declined to 410 million in the second quarter. However, our EBIT at Motorrad at the end of the quarter was still higher at 48 million euro. In the second half of the year, we expect to see an upward trend with the market launch of new BMW scooter models and the new Husqvarna models, the TR6050 Strada and the TR6050 Terra. This should have a corresponding impact on segment revenues and earnings. Ladies and gentlemen, we remain cautiously optimistic about the second half of the year. The BMW Group has a young and attractive model lineup on the market. We expect sales to receive a further boost in the second half of 2012. Attractive new models like the new 7 Series sedan, the C Series Touring, and the C Series sedan with xDrive will strengthen our sales volumes. The revised X1 will be coming onto the US market, and locally produced X1 models and the 3 Series sedan long wheelbase version are now in showrooms in China. We will benefit from this attractive product momentum over the coming months. The BMW Group is preparing intensively for the future. The upcoming BMW i models will revolutionize automotive engineering and the industry as we know it. This year, as previously announced, we will be making major upfront investments of an additional roughly 1 billion euro. We have the financial strength to shoulder these investments in our future. The economic environment may worsen further in the second half of the year. In particular, we recognize two risks: a further weakening situation in Europe, as well as potentially slower growth in China. Both could increase competition. Volatility in the markets is expected to remain high. For that reason, we remain cautious and continue to monitor developments. If conditions change more than anticipated, we have the flexibility to respond decisively. All the same, even with countermeasures, we cannot completely rule out a possible negative impact on earnings. We are maintaining our guidance, assuming conditions do not worsen significantly, and targeting record sales for all three premium brands. We are aiming for higher year-on-year earnings at group level and in the automotive segment. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment should be at the upper end of our 8 to 10% target range. We also intend to achieve returns on this scale on a sustained basis and hence beyond the year 2012. However, depending on political and economic developments, the actual EBIT margin could end up being above or below the targeted range. We expect to see a positive business development in the financial services segment despite higher volatility. Our contract portfolio should continue to grow. We are targeting a return on equity of more than 18%. We will maintain our solid, forward-looking financial management, focusing the BMW Group on long-term profitability and growth. The key objectives of our corporate strategy define the guidelines for our ongoing business development. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we would be glad to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical advice.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. We would also like to remind you that you may only raise two questions at a time. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Ms. Christina Church from Barclays. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, my question, I think the market is obviously nervous about the pricing environment, particularly in Europe. And I know you gave some guidance on the press call this morning that in the quarter your pricing was down 150 basis points. That seems to be a little worse than some of your peers from what they've been reporting. Are you seeing a situation where your incentives are higher than peers? And how do you expect that to play out in the second half of the year? And then my second question is on your billion increased spending on technologies. I'm just wondering how that progresses.
Christina, sorry, could you speak a little bit slowly? Yeah?
Sorry. The second question was on your 1 billion increased spending this year. I was just wondering how that progressed sequentially. If you could give a little update on sort of how much of it had already been spent in the first half, how much is still to come in the second half, and also whether we should expect any more incremental increases in 2013. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina. This question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger. I think two parts of the question.
Yeah.
First part
okay.
of pricing.
First, let's talk about the pricing. You know about our original plan. The idea was to further improve pricing within the year 2012. Having said this, the improvement now is, from our perspective, not achievable as long as we see the crisis in Europe, especially in the southern European markets, where the situation is highly competitive. And having said this, fortunately, in other big markets, it's fairly stable. So that's the case in the U.S., and that's to a certain extent the case in China as well. So it's actually more or less a European problem. And as we all know how the competition will behave in the next couple of weeks and months, it's hard to predict how this will develop. Now, our assumption is that it should at least be stable in Europe And we see some chances to improve in other regions because we are now in a phase where all the new cars are coming to the market. The new 3 Series sedan, this new Series sedan with all-wheel drive, the new Touring, those cars will all be available. And from our perspective, they have the potential to really make a difference. So that's how we look at it. And the numbers have been right. We had a hit of 150 basis points in the second half, where we still had to manage some runouts. So on the O3 series. Now your question about the future investments into new technologies. The 1 billion number is what we are expecting overall for 2012, and now we've spent nearly 400 to 500 million. In the first half of the year. It's not a one-off within 2012. We expect the next 2 to 3 years that we have to stabilize this level of spendings in order to really manage the change in our industry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Horst Schneider from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Horst Schneider from HSBC. I would like to come back again to the pricing issue. What I do not yet understand fully is you increase your unit sales significantly, but at the same time you need to provide higher discounts. So I want to know how important market share for you is, and why are you focusing so much here on this market share issue? And then the other question is I want to know to which extent you increase then the capacity in 2012. I think you have mentioned already that you expand capacity in Oxford, Spartanburg, you opened a plant in China, but I would like to know how many percent your capacity is increasing then finally in 2012 versus 2011, and I want to know what was the level of utilization in Q2 2012. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Horst. I think we start with Mr. Eichinger and then Norbert Reithofer about capacity and so on. And market share, yes.
Your question about the pricing and, the units increase and how we look at the context. First of all, we have a very heterogeneous picture around the world because the pressure, as I said, is in Europe, and the growth more or less is in China and the U.S., where we still have a fairly stable pricing. Well, that's one thing. In Europe, where the market is flat, and countries we really see a recession, like in Spain or in Italy. There, that's where the competition is. That's where the hard competition is, and that's where the pricing is really getting tough. And you should keep in mind we cannot let go the volume completely out of profitability reasons because we have a dealer network there and we have to make sure that the dealer network really survives in a crisis like this. And that is the reason why we think we have to maintain a certain momentum when it comes down to the market share development.
But haven't you said some time ago it's better to sell one unit less than necessary? So you want to adopt the old BMW pricing policy? And now I get the impression that cannot be the case anymore.
Well, I would not say that this cannot be the case. I think we have to recognize that in markets like Spain and Italy, we have a very difficult situation, right? That's not normal. In a normal market like the U.S., we are behaving like this. Actually, we could sell more cars in the U.S., and we didn't do so. That's why our pricing is stable, our residual values are stable, used car prices is improving. So that's a normal situation, how we want to see it. But this is not something we can generate in those markets in the southern part of Europe. It's because the market dropped so heavily. If you compare it to 2007, it's more than 50% in Spain, for example. And as I said, there's another job we have to do. In the midterm, we have to stabilize our dealer network. And in order to stabilize, he needs to sell some cars. Otherwise, he will die. And that's what we don't let go.
Okay. Second.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger, and now Mr. Reithofer to capacity and market share.
Our capacity utilization at existing plants is still on a high level. Why? You have to have in mind that we are in the pre-launch phase of a couple of new products, for example, a new BMW Touring, as Mr. Eiching already said. We are in the launch phase of the 6 Series Grand Coupé, 3 Series sedan with all-wheel drive, xDrive, how we call it. And these vehicles are due for the second half of the year, especially, I mean, Mr. Eiching mentioned it in the U.S. from September on, September, October, November, December. And what I would like to add to what Mr. Eiching said, I mean, our dealer stock in the United States is, you can say, empty, flat. So that means we think that we have opportunities in the U.S. in the second half of the year and with the availability of the cars as well. And as I said, we have still a high capacity utilization at our existing plants. And again, why? I mean, you have to have in mind last year, more or less 1.66 million cars produced. And this year, we said we will produce more than last year with more or less the same production network.
So what was the level of utilization in Q2?
More than 100%.
100%. And total capacity grows by how many percent? 2012 versus 2011?
I mean, if you see a couple of examples of important plants, I mean, in Spartanburg, we are more or less on a level of 300,000 units, and we will not be able to produce more if then we talk about 5,000 units, but not more. So in China, we are in the middle of the launch phase of our new plant in Tiexi. We'll not have the full capacity for the year 2012. Though that means we are in launch phases of new plants. Spartanburg, we are, let me use the word, we are chock-a-block full at the moment. Mr. Eiching mentioned, especially if we have in mind the X3, we could sell more X3s. We cannot produce them because we have not enough capacity. So if I see the German plants like Leipzig, like Dingolfing, Regensburg, or Munich, they are all in the middle of the launch phase of our new 3 Series products, 1 Series products. And as I said, the new products will be available in the second half of the year, especially the all-wheel drive versions. And as I said, high utilization of capacity at the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Horst Schneider. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Arndt Ellinghorst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. It's Arndt Ellinghorst, Credit Suisse. I have two questions. The first one is on China and CO2 regulation. Could you share your thoughts on the pending implementation of new CO2 regulation in China, please? And especially if you could focus on the potential implications for vehicle imports and also the timing of an implementation of these new targets. And the second question is, I guess you're getting that on all the calls, your excess liquidity. Has anything changed with respect to your strategy or your view on how BMW will be dealing with excess liquidity moving forward? Could you update us with your thoughts, please? And could you please talk about, still again, the strategy on the ongoing dividend and potentially a special dividend? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Arndt Ellinghorst. Now, I think we start with the second part of your question and with Mr. Eichinger.
Well, I mean, in the market situation we are in, actually, our view is that we should move forward with a liquidity buffer that should be at least between 8 billion and 10 billion. I mean, that's, from our perspective, something we need also in order to protect our rating. This is of utmost importance. And we all experienced in 2008 how quickly the capital market could change. And then this would be something that would support our performance going forward. So that's a view on that. Well, dividend payment, I mean, we paid out now $1.5 billion for 2011. You know our view and has not changed. The range is between 30 and 40% payout ratio. That's still our target, and we would like to deliver on this. Having said this, please keep in mind, as we disclose already, our CapEx will have to increase. Because now we have to protect and bring forward future investments for lightweight construction, electrification, new models in order to support our growth path. And this will definitely have an influence on the CapEx side as well. Though that is something we have to face for the next couple of months and maybe for the next 3 years.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. So the second part of your question about CO2 in China and the development, Mr. Reithofer.
I mean, as you know, the Chinese Ministry of Industry and Information Technology has provided the automobile industry with a draft of the accounting rules for fuel efficiency in passenger vehicles in China from 2012 to 2015. I mean, Mr. Ellinghorst, I make it really short and simple. What we have to achieve in 2015 is 6.9 liters per 100 kilometers. And further into the future, we have to achieve 5.9 liters per 100 kilometers. At the end, what does it mean? It means China is no exception anymore. Mm-hmm. If it comes to fuel efficiency, the rules and regulations are as tough as in Europe and as tough as in the United States of America. That means all over the world, we are more or less faced with the same challenges. And I can only say what Mr. Eichinger mentioned several times. What does it mean for the next couple of years? It means we need more research and development to achieve all these challenges lying ahead of us. So, and as I said, China more or less on the same track like Europe and the US. That is what it means. 6.9 liters and further down the road, 5.9 liters average for the fleet in China.
Yeah, Dr. Reithofer, for your referring to your knowledge of the situation, is there a risk that China comes up with a separate regulation for vehicle imports, and that this emission footprint, if you call it, can potentially not be pooled with the locally manufactured cars? Is there such a risk?
I would not call it a risk. It is a possibility that it can happen. But at the moment, we are still, how should I call it? Can I call it still in a negotiation phase? It is a possibility, but we are still in a negotiation phase. Of course, our preferred solution is for imported cars and for locally produced cars, same rules and regulations.
Is there any view on the timing of this regulation?
Not at the moment. It's too early.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Arndt Ellinghorst, next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. It's Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. I'm struggling a bit with your, on the one hand, the guidance for the margin, and at the same time, all the positives that you're telling us for the second half. With regard to pricing, you said that you suffered 150 basis points negative pricing in the second quarter. I guess that's seen all for the whole automotive segment. But you're telling us that in the second half, pricing should be more or less stable versus the second quarter, so no further deterioration. At the same time, you're telling us a lot about the positives coming with the 3 Series Touring and so on, and xDrive models in the fourth quarter. Nevertheless, your guidance implies an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of less than 10% in the second half. Can you explain a little bit more how these two things are fitting together, and is it really just all the expenses for new projects and R&D that's driving down your margin assumption for the second half by so much?
Well, just to make my point absolutely clear, I said no further deterioration. But no further deterioration would mean that we would have to consider that the pricing will be not as good as the year before. Because I'm talking from the actual level of pricing, and this actual level is 100 basis points, 150 basis points below the level we've seen last year. Right, so and that's the level we expect to continue. Just only to make that clear. I don't think that we should expect further acceleration in the wrong direction, so further hit on the pricing. But as I've said, the situation we have now is possibly stable, and we need the new products in the market to maintain that level. That's a few, especially in the European markets. Though the positive influence of the new C-Series should compensate further pricing pressure that is expected and enable us to keep it at the level we see it in the second quarter. So that's our view on that. And having said this, in addition to the pricing, we have to consider that the cost will increase in the second half. Two reasons. First is another 500 to 600 million for future investments, as we explained, will as a part of the 1 billion we disclosed already. And then normally we always have a kind of a seasonality in the fourth quarter where all the year-end bills will be paid, and so that is always a kind of a hockey stick effect on the cost side in the fourth quarter that we have to consider as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Christian Breitsprecher, next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Jochen Gerke from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Just two quick ones, please. In your industrial cash flow, you're showing the 968 million negative from other. And discussing with your colleagues this morning, I understand that this is partially related to dealer prepayments. Can you just help us to understand the dynamics going forward behind this? Is looking at this number, is it going to fluctuate dramatically? And is a minus 1 billion a number in cash flow kind of like a warning signal that actually we're seeing less prepayments from dealers and therefore the export business, namely into China, is going to be less dynamic? And then secondly, on Peugeot, you obviously discontinued or are in discontinuation talks on the hybrid joint venture. I understand that you're currently still maintaining the small car engine collaboration. Is it fair to assume that your small car profitability, especially I remember in the past you very much alluded that on a midterm level BMW would grow predominantly in the smaller car area, was always based on that collaboration, and that a discontinuation of that engine platform would harm at least the profitability aspects of those? Or do you feel that even if it were to happen today, you could still offset that with your modular engine strategy and potentially finding other partners such as Toyota? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jochen Gerke. I think we start with your second part of the question, PSA and small cars, with Mr. Reithofer and then Mr. Eichinger. Mr. Reithofer, please.
Look, Mr. Gerke, let me start with one effect. For example, we will start, as you know, to sell engines, diesel engines, to Toyota from 2014 on for Toyota products, especially in Europe. And of course, the additional engines produced for Toyota, they will give us economies of scale. That is one part. Then 2-3-4 years ago, we asked ourselves, how can we be more independent? I mean, you have to ask yourself, when will you be a good partner, a good cooperation partner for another successful car company? First of all, you have to have the ability to be independent. So, and we started to develop a modular engine system. So, and in future, it will include three-cylinder petrol engine, four-cylinder petrol engine, six-cylinder petrol engines, three-cylinder diesel engines, four-cylinder diesel engines, and six-cylinder diesel engines. That means, let me say, from 2014, 15, 16 onwards, we will have a lot better economies of scale because of the modular engine system. In the past, we did not have such a modular engine system. So that means, again, my first point, we sell diesel engines to Toyota. Secondly, we started to develop a modular engine system, including all our diesel and petrol engines, starting three-cylinder up to six-cylinder engines. That gives us as well economies of scale. And for all our running cars, we need the cooperation engines between PSA and BMW. But from 2016 on, our modular engine system will give us the opportunity as well, if we need it, to use our own engines as profitable as before the cooperation engines.
Mr. Eichinger?
Well, in order to understand the effect, I mean, you have to understand the strategy behind it. I mean, the end of 2011, let's say in the third quarter, fourth quarter, we took the decision to start 2012 with a kind of a front-loading of volumes into China. And so we prepared a new product. We prepared high production volumes for the Chinese market. They've been shipped in the fourth quarter. They arrived in January, and we had a very good start. And this was reflected in our financial numbers of the first quarter as well. So that's what worked out for us nicely. The consequence of this strategy was exactly what you mentioned now. I mean, we got loads of prepayments. From the advance payments from the dealers, and now this is what is now related to a reduction in liabilities deriving from those advance payments, and that is coming now and is reflected in the cash flow statements. Now your question: could this happen again? Now, honestly, if I would see again this opportunity of front loading, I would do it again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. And Jochen Gerke, next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Josie Azumendi from Baader Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Many thanks. A couple of items, please. The first one on mix and the year-to-year evolution. Maybe you could please elaborate a little bit around the impact of mix on revenues and earnings in the second quarter, and how should we think about mix in the second half? And then second question for Mr. Reithofer, a bit more longer term, when you think about selling more than 2 million units by 16, how much more capacity do you think you will need to add across, you know, Europe, US, and China? And in this context, what proportion of vehicles do you think could be assembled by other partners? Thank you.
Thank you very much. We start with Mr. Reithofer.
I mean, a short answer, roughly 400,000 units additional production capacity.
Okay.
Second part, Mr. Eichinger.
Well, the question about the mix effect year on year, the mix effect was slightly negative. Two major reasons for that. One is the higher number of one series being sold, roughly 10,000 more, and the other is the regional distribution. As we shifted now more on a way to shift more volume to the U.S. market, for example, I mean, there's a difference between the pricing and then revenue in the U.S. market compared to the Chinese market. And I explained today already that with a strong start in China this year, we now are expecting that it will be flattening from a more than 30% gross level down to 20 to 25%. So on, and the
on the other side, the volumes in the U.S. market should increase step by step with the introduction of the new C-Series models. So this is one of the movements that will explain the shift in mix, but this could change in next year as well. And it depends on the opportunities in those big markets, China and U.S. and Europe. Actually, it's it.
Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is 3:05. We have time for two additional questions. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Max Warburton from Bernstein. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Max Warburton from Bernstein. Just two quick questions on China, please. The first one's coming back to this subject of pricing. I think you've been very clear the problem is European rather than Chinese, but would you be happy to sort of go on record and state that pricing in China in Q2 was unchanged versus Q1 levels? Basically, there has been no further deterioration in that market at all in the last few months. And the second question, you know, when we look at these Chinese sales numbers, my understanding is the number you report is shipments to dealers in China. There are people in the Chinese industry who are arguing that BMW's sell-out rate from the dealers was about 20,000 units less than its sell-in in the first half. Essentially, there's about an extra month of inventory that's been built up. Is that a figure you're familiar with, you're comfortable with, in terms of what's happened to inventory in the Chinese network? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger.
Well, first of all, your question about pricing, I mean, this is, again, a heterogeneous situation. We have models where we have to do more in pricing, where we need a bit more discounts. That was due for the 7 Series before the facelift. And it has to do with the 3 Series run out. And in a few segments, the competition is quite intense. Related to our peers, and this led us in those segments and for those cars to a higher level of incentive spending. Having said this, on the other hand, now with the introduction of the new 3 Series long wheelbase, we are not giving any discount on this. The demand is quite okay. There's a waiting list for the consumers, so those products and the new X1 as well, in line with the 5 Series long wheelbase car that is still in good shape, there is no need to push. But there are other segments where it's tougher because of the competition intensity, and that's where we had to do some more as well. Overall, compared to the worldwide average of incentive spending, it's still below the worldwide average. That's what I can say. Now your question about the sales in China compared to the production inventory levels. Now, you have to see we are managing a huge run of phase out and phase in as well. So I cannot confirm the numbers you mentioned, but I know there is now a phase where we are building up volumes with new cars, and this could lead to more inventory at dealer level as well.
Thank you very much. Last question, please.
The last question comes from Mr. Bernard Donge from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi, good morning everyone. Bernard Donge from JP Morgan. Actually, my question was partially answered, but so basically looking at like automotive revenues, you said that mix was like a slightly negative, so maybe like 50 bips, that pricing was a 1.5 point negative, and when you look at the interim report, it seems that FX was like a 6% positive, implying that volumes were 1%, you know, like growth year on year, so meaning that the sell-in was lower than like the retail sales. So if that's the case, what was the impact on your automotive EBIT, and should we expect some inventory build-up positively affecting your revenues going forward? Then my second question is on the FINCO. FINCO is a 430 to 440 million EBIT, a good run rate for going forward quarterly. And yeah, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger.
So first your remark about the mix. Yes, the mix was slightly negative. I explained already the reasons behind that. More one series and regional shift are the major reasons. Then the question about inventory. Once we've reached the peak of the launch of the 3 Series, those products are still on the way because we still don't have all the derivatives out in the market. From that point onwards, I think we see improvement on the inventory level. And you have to see we have a diverse picture around the world. The Reithofer mentioned it already, whilst in the U.S., the stock is empty. There are other regions in Southern Europe, for example, where the stock is maybe too high for the demand that could be expected, and we are on a way to balance all of this. So actually, there was a huge shift going on out of Europe into U.S. or into Asia. That is something that we are managing on a monthly basis, and that has its influence on inventory as well, because you have to see if you take a car out of Europe and you ship it to China, this means another 1 or 2 months transit time and inventory would go up respectively. But overall, as I said, we don't see a huge increase. Our working capital management is targeted to limit it and to look for improvements in a fourth quarter. Now, the question about the run rate going forward of SF. It heavily depends on the risk side, because the portfolio is quite in good shape, and the margins are already bought into the portfolio. So risk is the question. We think we are very well prepared. That makes us gives us every confidence to achieve our 18% return on equity target, and that's what we are looking for.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are on time. Thank you very much for joining in our call today and for your questions. On behalf of the BMW Group team, I wish you all a pleasant summertime. Bye bye and auf Wiedersehen.